Well, week four is almost over. Kevin Rudd and Tony Abbott heading into the final days of hectic campaigning before you get to pass judgment next Saturday. Meanwhile, as we've been hearing this morning, a new chapter in the row over costings has emerged. Finance Minister Penny Wong will be joining us a little later. The next big set piece in this election campaign is on Sunday when the Labor Party holds its official campaign launch, also in Brisbane. And Brisbane, it seems, is turning into ground zero for the ALP. To review the week and look at what's next, we're joined by two insiders. Nick Minchin was a key power broker and cabinet minister in John Howard's government, and Greg Turnbull served as senior advisor to Labor leaders Paul Keating and Kim Beazley. Nick, Greg, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, friend.
Well, the coalition's costing has been the dominant issue for this entire campaign, and we've talked about it a lot here when we've had you on the program in the last few weeks. Greg Turnbull, was it a mistake for Kevin Rudd to hold that press conference yesterday and accuse the coalition of a $10 billion fraud on the Australian people?
Well, as I watched that press conference, I did think that some of the rhetoric was a bit overblown, but we're getting used to that, I guess, these days, claims of fraud and so forth. Look, I think the Labor Party was in a difficult position. They've constantly been trying to make an issue of this, these costings. They had these, if you like, here's a costing I prepared earlier from the Treasury and Finance Department, and they felt they had to use them. And to be fair to them, what else could they use while the coalition was continuing to withhold the detail of their policies? When the coalition came out with the $31 billion worth of cuts, I guess they reached for, as someone said earlier, the electronic bottom drawer and pulled out these costings.
And then the department heads of Finance and Treasury reached into their computers and pulled out what the Christopher Pyne described earlier as an Exocet missile and fired it at Labor's attack.
Yes, to me, this was the bureaucratic equivalent of what the sports agencies have done in the last 24 hours, which is pay out on the election before it occurs. The bureaucrats in Canberra know a variable and a constant. The variable is that the government changes, and the constant is that the bureaucracy will still be there. And I think governments find that out the hard way in these circumstances. And when a bureaucracy comes out like that, it's a feast for the headlines, as we've seen this morning.
Nick Minchin, how do you see this playing out? Is there any pressure now on Joe Hockey or Tony Abbott to release the costings and the assumptions that, you know, that's what Labor's demanding? We'll hear from Penny Wong shortly, and I'm sure that's what she'll be demanding.
Well, I actually think, Fran, there's less pressure now. I think Kevin has really blown it with yesterday's performance and the extraordinary spectacle of the heads of Treasury, Finance and the Parliamentary Budget Office having to come out to defend themselves against the misrepresentation perpetrated by Rudd, Bowen and Wong. I thought it was quite extraordinary, and now this is blown up in their face completely, and nothing that the government says now about the coalition's costings will have any credibility whatsoever. So in effect, they've single-handedly blown up their main line of attack on the coalition. I think yesterday was a disaster, and even the Fairfax papers are giving Labor a hard time about it this morning. So, you know, I think yesterday was a complete disaster, and I must say this is all starting to look very reminiscent of the last days of the Howard government, in which I was intimately involved. You know, I think Rudd's looking... John Howard got very desperate in those last few weeks, and I think Rudd is looking just the same.
Even the Fairfax papers, Greg Turnbull, that's what Nick Minchin said there, is giving Kevin Rudd a hard time. But if we're talking about even the Murdoch press ran a piece yesterday that said Labor factional power brokers are openly questioning whether Julia Gillard would have done a better job than Kevin Rudd. What do you think about that?
Well, I just think that's a bit of... gratuitous malice on the part of whoever came up with that. I noticed there's a photo this morning of Julia Gillard having a cup of coffee with Craig Emerson in Canberra sometime the last couple of days, and that would have been an interesting conversation to tune into. But I must say, at this stage of the campaign, with all that's happened, Nick mentioned if this was you and I were playing a game of a Scrabble, I'd be complaining that I got a bad set of letters. It's getting pretty hard to argue the.
You blame the umpire, would you?
I'd have to blame something, I think, because look, it's getting pretty difficult. One of the things that I think that's been a real problem for Labor is what I would call they've been in a sense passive in this campaign. For instance, in the last 48 hours, we've seen Kevin Rudd talking about foreign investment. Now, this was depicted as within 24 hours as, you know, the Kevin Rudd's, you know, intervention on foreign investment. In fact, it was nothing of the sort as I could see it. It was a pretty much a one-nation flavoured question asked of him at Rudy Hill RSL Club. Next thing you know, we've got a sort of some sort of policy shift on foreign investment, which I'm sure was not intended. And that's the kind of thing where, you know, it's that's being led by a populist question and not actually being a leader and saying, oh, look, sorry, look, we're not going there. This is what I think. Do you know what I mean?
Well, and that's a criticism of Kevin Rudd as he panics. This is the commentary that he's panicking and he's throwing out those things like, oh, maybe I prefer joint ventures when it comes to foreign ownership, or I think we should move the naval base to Garden Island, even though the white paper earlier in the year said we shouldn't, or we should have a 20% company tax rate for Northern Territory, even though it doesn't seem like so many in his cabinet agree with that.
Indeed, and those things uncosted as well, which again undermines the main game of the $70 billion claim against the coalition.
Nick mentioned just because Greg's feeling like he got a bad set of numbers, and he's starting to argue your case. What about the pressure that is coming on to Tony Abbott still over his paid parental leave policy? It seems to me Labor has gone some way into making some of the electorate agree that this is too expensive, that they're paying for other people to live the life of Riley when they have a baby. Let's just have a listen to the question from contribution from Ian, a small business owner from Mount Druitt. He made it at the People's Forum at Rudy Hill on Wednesday.
I give the common sense test to policies. Sure. Now, your policy of paid parental leave is a great policy, but I just think that the forklift driver in Mount Druitt shouldn't be paying his taxes, so a pretty little lady lawyer on the North Shore earning 180 grand a year can have a kid.
Well, that's
just to be fair.
Nick mentioned Tony Abbott has a problem on his hands if those views of Ian's are widely shared, doesn't he?
Well, Labor is clinging desperately to this one remaining sort of line of attack, but I really don't think it's catching. And even that questioner prefaced it by saying, oh, it's a great policy, Tony, but... And Tony's response was, well, you know, the most of it, or half of it at least, is being paid by a levy on big business. I don't think it's... you know, as I said earlier in the campaign, it's weighing up the political impact of this is difficult. I think it's quite attractive to a lot of women in the paid workforce, and a lot of research to that effect. Small business like it because they can match big business. It equates to what people are now getting in big business. And I thought it was a bit rough on you and the ABC, but, you know, it's fair enough that public servants have been getting this. But so I don't think it is biting. But Labor will presumably keep clinging to it as one of their last lines of attack on the coalition.
Greg, what do you think? Is it a lame last line of attack, or is it biting?
Well, I think, popular policy though it might be, it's still unaffordable, inequitable and regressive. And I noticed even this morning Graham Richardson has cited that person, Ian, from the small businessman as asking the best question of the campaign. But I think one of the best Labor lines of the campaign came, strangely enough, from Mark Latham through the week, who said that the over-generous... paid parental leave policy of the coalition is the most generous parenting policy since the reading of Kerry Packer's will.
Yeah,
that's a good line. This Sunday, Labor will officially launch their campaign, though it always... I can never understand this, how you can have your campaign launch at the last week of the campaign. But anyway, Greg Turnbull, Kevin Rudd has been really pretty negative in these last few weeks as he's gone on the attack against Tony Abbott rather than espousing too much positive vision. What do you expect at this campaign launch? Do you expect a big vision statement?
Well, I expect Labor to emphasise, even at this late and desperate stage of the campaign, the positives such as the disability insurance, NBN, and the better education reforms that used to be called the Gonski reforms, but now that's unfashionable. I think that this late launch in these circumstances is a real test of character for the Labor campaign people, but obviously principally for Kevin Rudd. This is the blowtorch of public life when the sports agencies have written him off, the bureaucracy's raised the drawbridge. I think that it's lonely at the top at this time, and this will be a real challenge for him and a fascinating thing for us to behold.
And Nick, I'll come to you in a moment, but Greg, I don't know if you've been mixing with Labor types much in these last few days. Have you got any sense of the mood within the Labor politicians as they campaign?
Well, I think there's a sense of acceptance that a miracle isn't going to emerge. I think there'll be when Kevin Rudd addresses the press club later in the week. Fran, I half expect you to be there to ask the question you asked of Paul Keating in 1996, which was, "Mr. Prime Minister, is this the Last Supper?"
He didn't like that question, did he?
No.
I don't think he likes it anymore. Still, Nick Minchin, as we move into this final week of this campaign then, we, perhaps many of us who remember last campaign, remember the all-nighter Tony Abbott pulled in that final days of the final week of the election campaign. Do you think he needs to do that again, or it's a good idea?
Well, I was, as you know, travelling with him at the time, and I counselled against it because I'm always worried that overtired leaders make mistakes. But Tony is so fit, he got away with it last time, and it actually proved to be a winner. Look, I think he's in a situation now where he doesn't need to take that sort of risk. I think it'll be a steady as she goes. He's looked, and I think even at the debate this week, frankly, more prime ministerial than Kevin Rudd. You know, it was Tony holding the line on a number of things like superannuation and foreign investment rather than following the populist path that Kevin was. So I think it's just this week will be, you know, the reinforcement of the core messages, continue to look steady, stable, prime ministerial, and without taking any undue risks at all.
Tony Abbott was reminding us of 1993 when John Hewson lost the unlosable election, and he was working for John Hewson at the time, so presumably it does loom large in his mind. But do you think he's really seriously concerned about that?
Well, yeah, look, you've got to remember, you've still got 10 standard election sort of practices. You've got 10% of voters who literally do finally make up their minds in the last days or on the day itself. You've got a situation in this campaign where expectations of a coalition victory are so high that there's the risk of a sort of underdog effect where people think, oh, well, I want a change of government, but I'm going to get it anyway so I can, you know, afford to vote Labor. So as a campaign manager, you're always worried about those effects right up until 6 p.m. on the Saturday. So Tony will campaign on that basis, and he's seen what happens, you know, in 93. So he's not taking anything for granted, and I think you'll see him campaign that way.
I don't know if any of you have done seat counts privately, but Greg, Julia Gillard won't be at the campaign launch on Sunday. She wants to leave the space for Kevin Rudd's message, not to be distracted by her presence. But there have been some that suggested that, you know, the Gonski and the NDIS should have played a bigger part in this campaign. If it hasn't, are you still confident, is it still your view that Labor will end up with more seats after this election than it would have if Julia Gillard was the Prime Minister?
Look, on balance it is, and as has been observed, this is of course an untestable proposition, so we'll never know. But I think the likelihood is that that Labor's primary vote will be higher under Rudd even now than it otherwise would have been.
All right. Greg Turnbull, Nick Minchin, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Thanks, Randy.
At the end of week four of this election campaign, Nick Minchin and Greg Turnbull. It's 28 to 9 on Breakfast.